You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To the south of France, Simon Constable, writing for Barron's and other distinguished publications, observing the climate and the commodities, and then we will explore the politics of the moment in Europe, which resemble, not far-fetched, from the politics of America, populism, the far right, conservatism, and one human being, Elon Musk. We begin, however, with the weather. Simon, it is an ordinary southern New England winter so far. Temperature can be in the teens. It snows now and again. The big storms have moved north of here into Vermont, which is ordinary. And there's nothing shocking about the climate. At the same time, you've seen the headlines out of Los Angeles, which I've been reporting on for a week. There is no evidence one way or another, but the assertion is climate change has influenced the Santa Ana wind, which is also brought very dry humidity, and that has sparked the fires that have now devastated not only Los Angeles, but California, and by that meaning the economy of the U.S. So I'm paying attention to climate these days, not because there's proof, but because there's observation that something funny going on. How is the climate with you, wintertime, south of France? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. Well, I seem to have acclimatized to French summer weather. I rather like that. And now it feels, on my new French standard of what the weather's like, it feels positively Baltic. So overnight, it went down to 23 Fahrenheit, which I realize might just be normal in New England, and the high 39, so not even getting over 40. So a bit chilly, but okay, can live with it. Would much like it to be a bit more warm.
Snow, rain, any precipitation in the wind?
No, nothing. Frost over everything. The grass, the roads, the muds, wherever it is, a lot of frost, but nothing else apart from that. No snow yet.
Let's look at energy, because it was predicted to be a more ordinarily cold winter in Europe after two warm winters. How is it now, the energy prices? We'll start with oil.
Well, Brent crude is now over $80 a barrel, and that's up almost 6% on the week, since we talked last week. Now, I know that American crude oil, WTI, the West Texas Intermediate, that's up even more. It's up 7%. And that's probably a good signal in some ways for an indication that maybe the world's economy is going to jumpstart again. We know that the whole world won't, but hopefully some of the world will start getting back to business in a really frenetic way.
Puzzle about authority turns on electricity here in the U.S., more and more demand for electricity. In France, your electricity comes from your nuclear power plants, I believe. So is there any change in your prices?
It's gone down a little bit, really a fractional bit over the last week. But it's really still priced off the natural gas price, which is related to what the natural gas price is in America, except it's just a few, it's a multiple of it, but it moves in the same direction. So at the moment, it's 47 euros, which is approximately $47 per megawatt hour. And that really hasn't changed much over the last few weeks. So we've been pretty lucky there. The fact that we have a lot of nuclear reactors here, I think it's 56 at the moment, and there will be more being made over the next few years, really doesn't alter the price, which is unfortunate. And I hope that the parliament here in France will change that rule so it can be quite a bit cheaper.
The bourgeois commodities, and this comes to inflation at the grocery store. The three big ones we've been focusing on are cocoa, which is out of sight. Chocolate is dear. Coffee and orange juice. But all the prices, are you noticing any increase in your food bills?
Not really. In fact, tangerines are being basically almost given away in a local village that I live near. I went down there; they were almost giving them away. I got a huge bag full, and it was maybe just a few euros, not even more than 4 euros. So that was amazing. Coffee's gone up over the last week by about 2%. So that's a lot more. Orange juice hasn't really changed that much, and neither has cocoa. Cocoa is there maybe 1% up. It's now above the $11,000 per metric ton, which is about 2,200 pounds, US pounds, that is.
We move from the commodities to the question of inflation. In the US, our CPIs ticked up a little bit. We run around, we're alarmed at everything that the CPI and PPI do. I note that inflation appears to have moderated some in the UK, which takes us to your other country, Great Britain. The Labour government is troubled. Is there a way to describe why or how it got in so much trouble after winning more than 400 seats in the most recent general election?
Yeah, it's I'm struggling not to laugh because it is quite shocking. So they came in with a huge mandate from the public and then decided to put taxes, various taxes, up quite massively during an economic slowdown. So it makes the slowdown even slower. And we've basically got down to a stall, basically zero growth at the moment, and it could get even worse very quickly. And the key people, the cabinet, the people that Keir Starmer, the prime minister, chose to be his inner circle, they're digging in their heels as well and saying, no, we're doing it right. This is what we're going to do. And, you know, you're going to love it and it's going to be great. And as someone who's studied economics for quite a long time now and seen what does work and what doesn't, this doesn't look like it's going to have a happy ending at all for the country or for the Labour Party. And I think the Labour Party may find some real problems cropping up in the next few months.
So Keir Starmer, the prime minister, his approval rating continues to plunge, which is odd to me, given that he is the leader of such an overwhelming majority. Is it striking to you? Is he being picked on specially, or is he suffering for the sins of Labour's tax and spend?
Well, he's also behind the tax and spend. He's also not a very charismatic man when you look at other leaders. So Boris Johnson may not have been liked by everybody, but he was very charismatic and very appealing to many people. So was Margaret Thatcher back in the day. So were many other prime ministers. Keir Starmer isn't that. He's a very accomplished lawyer, a prosecutor. He ran the Crown Prosecution Service for the whole of the whole of England and Wales, and did apparently a very good job of that and got a knighthood for it. But he really doesn't have that common touch, which says, "I'm with you. I'm living the same life as you, and I understand what you're going through." That doesn't come across at all in any way.
And then we come to the tangle in the news. Elon Musk, the very well-known, wealthy, and opinionated head of SpaceX and Tesla and other enterprises, also now a president whisperer, if I understand the stories from Mar-a-Lago, has identified Sir Keir Starmer as inadequate. He's asked him to leave. The presenting issue, however, was a scandal over many years ago that has continued, called the grooming scandal, having to do with sexual violence against young women in and around many parts of England, and not just limited to, say, the poorer neighborhoods, everywhere, all the cities. And Elon Musk raised the issue, and I learned from reading that the issue has been a sensitive one since the beginning of the revelations, having to do with politics and class, perhaps. Is there some way to describe what it is that Starmer is accused of? What did he do? Because he was the chief prosecutor. How is he at fault for crime?
Well, he's obviously not committed the crimes that a certain number of men were accused of, which is what you described. It's about looking over it and past it because he's not wanting to be accused of being racist or anti-immigrant or basically Islamophobe. And a lot of the men accused of these crimes were of Pakistani origin. And it comes down to that. And there was a lot of fear about being called a racist or any of the other things I mentioned. So that is really what has happened over many years. And maybe he should have acted more aggressively, or maybe his deputies should have told him to act more aggressively on this. It doesn't really matter in any way what race, ethnic background you have. There are certain things that are not tolerable, and that's what ended up happening.
Has he responded to Elon Musk's criticism or gone back to his work?
Not to my knowledge, he hasn't. But I know that there will be increasing heat on this matter because it is a matter that affected so many people in so many communities. So people will be wanting to see action sooner or later. And if he wants to keep his office more than just the one term he's in for, he better act in some way that makes sense and shows that justice is done.
Also, Elon Musk, the common theme here, praising the Reform Party, whatever it is, and Nigel Farage, a charming man who deserves attention, forming the Reform Party, which has 5 members, but it did very well in the polling, I believe, more than 5 members worth, but that's what he has.
Farage. No, I should jump in here. That's members of parliament, not 5 members of the party. So, yes, 5 members of parliament, which is a little different. I think there may be more than 5 people actually giving a subscription in.
And the question here is, one weekend Musk praises Farage, the next weekend he says he's not the man for the future. What is the Reform Party? What is the future for Farage? What does he represent?
He's representing a populist movement that leans to the right. Some people say the far right. I would say the right, that reflects a lot of the views that people in Britain are feeling at the moment, like the massive amounts of illegal immigration across the Channel, which is the sea route between France and the UK, a lot coming in, getting a lot of benefits at taxpayers' expense. And there also not being enough services to cater for all the people who are coming into the country. That's a big part of it, and that's a problem. Britain has long been a home to people who really need a refuge, and that's where the word refugee comes from. And that's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, and Britain has always been there for that. But this has gotten a lot out of control in terms of money, in terms of space, in terms of things like there being enough houses for everybody to go around, or enough doctors to go around, or enough dentists to go see from now or then. So all those things are really irritating the public, and Farage, Mr. Farage, is channeling that upset to say, look, we want to do things differently. He definitely was one of the people who wanted to get out of the European Union, helped make that happen. And now he wants to do some other changes. And that's really what's going on. And yes, you're right. He's a very charming man and well-liked by a lot of people and well-hated by a number of other people as well.
Simon Constable in the south of France, we're going to turn to the industry that is revived by violence, which is defense industry. In Europe, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.